welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
You've had knee problems in the past, haven't you?
Yes. I wish this study would have come out 15 years ago and I could have given it to my orthopedic surgeon and told him to leave me the hell alone. So honestly, I had a medial meniscectomy from a large bucket handle tear and I had some locking and they yanked out the meniscus. And now 15 years later, I twisted my knee recently and it swelled up and I got an x-ray just to see if there was any bone bruise or it was a pretty bad fall. And, sure enough, bone on bone arthritis in the medial compartment. So thank you, orthopedic surgeon. Anyway, this is a very relevant study and I think a good one to talk about.
Well, good. You're referring to a study in the Annals of Internal Medicine published this year, 2016. It starts on page 449. By way of background, as you said, twisting knee injuries, primarily when the foot is sort of fixed on the ground, can result in a torn meniscus. A torn meniscus is the disruption of the fibrocartilage pads that are located between the femoral condyles and the tibial plateaus. As there are large tears, they lead to the loss of smooth motion of the knees, which patients refer to as sort of locking, and there can be effusions, and as you've just shared with us, premature osteoarthritis. When you do an exam of someone with a meniscal tear, you can actually end up with a normal exam. You can have nonspecific signs, including a loss of smooth motion and some minor effusions and some minor joint line tenderness, but there's really nothing that's pathognomonic. There are a bunch of things that the surgeons have tried to convince us or factors that suggest that surgery might be required, including the mechanism, a knee that's locked or severely restricted in motion, severe pain, associated anterior cruciate ligament tears, and little improvement in symptoms after 3 to 4 weeks. And so classically, those would all lead to a referral to an orthopedist or from an orthopedist a referral for surgery. The poem that you found asks a question which is really important, and it says, does partial meniscectomy fix mechanical symptoms, specifically this knee catching or locking, and does the surgery lead to better outcomes than sham surgery? So it's one of these cool studies that really are the only way to answer these kinds of questions to sort of eliminate a placebo effect. Mark, tell us a little bit about the study and what they found.
Yeah, I think it's great that they're doing these kind of studies. It's really important that we think critically about surgery, even though it makes sense mechanically and it makes sense anatomically, doesn't always end up improving how well patients do. And so this is part of a larger Finnish study, was just in Finland a few weeks ago, looking at the effect of arthroscopic surgery on fairly young patients. I'd like to think 35 to 65 is pretty young, who had a meniscal tear, but without any signs of osteoarthritis. And they enrolled about 150 patients. They all had pain for at least 3 months, and they had some evidence of a meniscal tear, and they weren't responding to conservative therapy, physical therapy. So they excluded anybody that had a fully locked knee who couldn't straighten the knee at all. But they included everybody who had only symptoms of intermittent catching or intermittent or even frequent locking. They all underwent surgery. Half were randomized to a sham surgery where the surgeon, you know, hummed and sang along to the songs and, you know, made whirring sounds and, you know, pretended to do the surgery but actually didn't remove anything from the knee. The other group, they removed damaged and loose pieces of cartilage from the knee. They followed them for a year, and at the end of the year, 72% in the real surgery group and 59% in the sham group who had preoperative mechanical symptoms still had them. So actually a little worse in the real surgery group. Only about 28% in the surgery, the real surgery group, and 41% in the sham group had complete resolution of their symptoms. So again, slightly higher in the sham group. So I think it's, as the, I think Alan Shaughnessy wrote this poem, he says, "I guess it's time to stop the knee-jerk reaction, of sending patients with occasional catches and locking to ortho for meniscal resection. Removing these torn bits of meniscus may make sense anatomically, but does not decrease their likelihood of long-term symptoms or occasional catching and locking." And as we discussed earlier, you know, when you don't have a meniscus after 10 or 15 years, you pretty predictably develop arthritis in that compartment. And so, you know, I think there's some good reasons to be much more thoughtful and cautious about sending these patients for surgery.
Again, it's a great opportunity to remind listeners that that you call this series Poems After Patient-Oriented Evidence That Matters, and this is a great example of a patient-oriented study. You know, there undoubtedly were lots of studies that preceded this that looked at, you know, at diameters and distance between bones and this and that, mm-hmm. that were sort of surrogate markers.
Yeah, post-operative range of motion and things like that. Right.
But here's something that really looks at what patients care about, which is their symptoms.
Yeah, and again, the long-term consequences are not good of not having a meniscus. So if you can leave that tissue in there, even if you have occasional locking, it turns out the locking is going to happen anyway. And we've had other studies where they've done MRIs on patients without knee symptoms. And by middle age, you will find most patients have some evidence of meniscal tear. The majority have some tear. So if you go looking for it, you're going to find it, even though it's there in most patients who don't have any symptoms at all.
Yeah, very interesting. I wonder if there's any significance to the fact that it was published in the
Internal Medicine, right? Which I thought that was kind of odd too. It's like, Internal Medicine, really? Yeah, probably couldn't get it into the ortho journals, I guess.
I give them a lot of credit. Thanks, Mark, for picking it. We'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mike.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.